the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the wealth advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
All right. Well, thanks. Appreciate that. Back once again with more Bucket Strategy Investing. We're giving you the money information you need to help you get through retirement. And today, especially, this is strategy today. I'm Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum back here with me, standing by, ready to take your phone calls and your emails. Coming up this hour, I said strategy and I meant it. We're going to talk about we're going to begin with the basics of the bucket strategy. You've heard of this, right? The bucket strategy? Didn't we talk about it? Isn't the show called, the title of the show, Bucket Strategy Investing? Doesn't that say a whole lot about it? I think so. So, how does the bucket strategy work at its most basic level? We're going to talk about that, but we're also going to break down the buckets. And by the way, we're going to answer a few questions that we had on it, having to do with spending safe money first, using it to allocate across major asset classes, that kind of thing. So we're going to break down the bucket, tell you what you need to know, coming up here in just a couple of moments. Our number here in studio, 877-PLANNER. Show's just getting started. So at the moment, we do have, looks like every line is open for you. You can also send us your emails at wealthed.com. You just click on the Find Your Answer link. You'll see that there near the top of the page. Get in touch with us that way. Professor Rick Plum joins me this hour, courtesy of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group, who remind you that your retirement needs are vastly different from anyone else's. Since no two situations are alike, it is important that you have a retirement plan that focuses specifically on your goals as an individual. And with Lucia Capital Group, you have access to an entire network of brain trust advisors, and they're ready to help you out. This is not something you should try on your own, folks. I'm serious about that. Get help from the people who know how to help you out. You can call them directly off the air at Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. Get in touch with any of the brain trust advisors there at Lucia Capital Group. Get some help. Once again, if you have questions on anything that we talk about in this program, you can also talk to them at that off-air number, 800-644-1150. On the air, very important, 877-PLANNER, whatever questions you have, it has to do with buckets or strategy or anything like that. We will answer those questions here on the program for you, 877-752-6637. So when we talk buckets, Professor Plum, I still, on occasion, get people asking me when I say, buckets, what are you talking about? Buckets, what does that mean? And a lot of it has to do with sort of what we got into a little bit last week, which was making sure that your assets match your liabilities. What do we mean when we say that?
Well, when you're trying to create a distribution from a portfolio, you're trying to avoid something we talked about last week, you know, the negative sequence of returns. We're trying to avoid selling into a down market, selling assets when they were lower in value than when they started. And to do that, you have to then look at liabilities. What is a liability? It's my need to spend money from my portfolio. When we're talking about the portfolio, the liability to the portfolio is the portfolio making a distribution. That's a liability to the portfolio. And so what we're trying to avoid is having that liability correspond with a downtime in the market where the only thing we have are assets that are down in value. So when John talks about matching assets to liabilities, we have to identify the liabilities. How much do you need to withdraw from your portfolio this year, next year, projected into the future, 15 years from now, 20 years from now, and then match the assets to support that distribution with the time horizon for that distribution. A distribution that's happening this year should be nowhere near the stock market. There's a huge variability in pricing in the stock market. And while an increasing stock market is fine to take money out of, a decreasing stock market is the worst thing you can do to your portfolio.
We saw that last week when we were talking about sequence of returns, Professor Plum.
Very much so.
I think in this very segment, we were saying how when people take out the two identical portfolios, one was out of money after 20 years, while the other one just happened to do it at the right time, taking money out of an ascending portfolio, had like $600,000 in it.
And if you could assure yourself of the idea that the portfolio that you were withdrawing money from would always be higher by at least as much as what you're taking out of the portfolio, then fine, you can take it out of that portfolio. But we can't do that. There is no investment that guarantees a rate of return equal to or greater than our distribution. Now, there are products that guarantee distributions. They don't guarantee rates of return of 4% and 5% and 6%. And that's where we get into a problem with assets declining in value. And we just don't want to do that. So we want to identify the assets and the liabilities, assets that we're going to support the initial liability, the early liabilities. The key characteristic is it can't have a lot of volatility, if any. But unfortunately, when you put certain constraints on certain assets, like low volatility, high liquidity, that also defines the fact that you're not going to make very much money in today's world on that particular type of asset. So you don't want to overload in those kinds of areas unless you just have way more money than you'll ever need. We have met people that have, you know, millions of dollars in their portfolios and they need $10,000 a year or so. Okay, they can afford to put it all in the bank, in their mattress, whatever the case may be, because they don't need to get a very good rate of return. And they're risk averse in the first place, so they can be as conservative as they want. On the other side, that same person could be as aggressive as they want too, because they don't need to take money out of their portfolio. They can just take and put, you know, $100,000 of their $1 million off to the side. That kind of sounds like a bucket number one to me. And take $10,000 a year out of it for the next 10 years.
And what's the reason for doing that? There are two reasons for doing it.
Well, the first reason is you never want to have to sell something when it's down in value. Now, we can't guarantee what's going to happen in the future. We can look at the markets as a whole, and over time, they tend to be higher the longer you, anyway, down the line. There's a much more consistent, better than inflation rate of return the longer you hold the assets. And I'm not talking about an individual stock. Those can actually go out of value. The markets don't, so far in history, have never gone out of value. And so far in history, have always recovered, even when we thought they weren't going to recover, or when some people thought they weren't going to recover. I always figure that if the markets don't recover, we've got a whole lot worse situation off than what's going to happen with our money we're spending, well, 20 years from now. We've got problems today.
It's hard for me to imagine it because
means no U.S.
There will always be people who are looking to take advantage of low prices. I mean, there are always going to be people out there who want to make money.
Right. The only way the market can go to zero is if all the stocks in the Fortune 500 are worth nothing. And if that happens, it's gone.
Exactly. It means, you know, the Russians bombed or somebody, you know. I mean, we had, you know, we were all cowered under our desks.
So they will recover. It's just a matter of how long. So how long does it take for an average recovery? Well, do we want to deal with average? Because maybe this next recovery, this next downturn in recovery takes longer. And so if you set aside, in 2008, the market went down to 2009. But then by 2012, 13, it was back to where we were before, maybe 2014. So I just need 6 years worth of money in the sidelines. Well, maybe that's not going to work because not every recovery is as quick as the 2008 recovery. What about the 2000 downturn? Just as we were basically clawing our way out of that hole, we hit another one. And then the 2007, 2008. So that one was a much longer recovery overall to get a reasonable, better than 0% rate of return.
So you got to have your money. You have to have something to live on that's not going to go down in value, that you take out, and that I would assume you eventually perhaps spend down to zero because you're spending principal and whatever little tiny interest there is.
But that's a key too. People are so afraid about spending principal.
It ruins.
They don't look at the entire portfolio. They look at spending any amount of principal. But the idea is if you can carve off a piece of it over on one side and spend principal and interest on only a piece of it, leaving the other portion of the portfolio, as long as it's a large enough portion of the portfolio, to go through the ups and downs of the market, but over time have a potentially better rate of return than the drawdown you're taking on the portfolio in the beginning, you'll be fine. Because as a portfolio as a whole, it shouldn't be going down. Now, does it mean it's never going to go down in value compared to the starting value? No, that's not a true statement either. Because we saw that happen in 2000. We saw it happen in 2008. Where, just for ease of math, somebody started with $1 million. Their growth portfolio went down by 30%, but their overall portfolio, even with distributions, may have only gone down 8 or 9%, because they maybe only had a third of their money in the growth portfolio. So a third of the money going down 30% meant the overall portfolio, everything else being even, only went down 10. But some of it may have actually gone up. especially if you're using different types of assets, assets that have a negative correlation, assets that work differently than the rest of the portfolio, assets that create income but may be illiquid. So having all these different types of assets and identifying where they are, how they should be treated, how they should be managed, and what you should expect on a rational basis, not an irrational basis, helps you plan for that retirement. So buckets of money, buckets strategy investing is all about identifying your needs and setting the right assets to support those needs. Long-term liabilities, okay, they can have long-term assets. Long-term assets, they're volatile, and their goal is to do a better than inflation type rate of return. Short-term assets, not a lot of rate of return, but no, if any, or very low, if any, risk.
Yep, and high liquidity, which of course means, yeah, no return, or very little return, but you don't care. You just don't want to lose money. All right, 877-PLANNER. We've got more to talk about when we come back. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, Bucket Strategy Investing continues. Don't go away. Bucket Strategy Investing. Hey, it's, you know what? I was going to say, tis the season. It's almost here.
Season four.
For alternative investment workshops. The fall season is just about here. And we want to remind folks that you can join the Brain Trust, meet them in person at any one of the alternative investments workshops presented by Lucia Capital Group. Now, they're getting started here in a few weeks and going through November. The first one is Saturday morning, September 17th in San Diego, California, at the Hotel Carlin right there. You can get all the information at the at our website, wealthed.com. October 1st, Las Vegas, Nevada, and then October 8th, Phoenix, Arizona. So those will be the next three. Seattle will happen in November. If you want to get some more information on this stuff and where and want to know where the Brain Trust is going to be after that, you go to our website, sign up there, wealthed.com, W-E-A-L-T-H, wealthed.com. Professor, you'll be talking a lot about alternative investments, just meaning what very quickly?
Well, investments that act differently than the stock market as a whole and how to use those to potentially enhance your overall, you know, risk-return profile of your portfolio to reduce the overall volatility. Not necessarily the overall volatility within specific securities, but in the portfolio as a whole. And that's what we're trying to achieve, is some type of stable income, a little less volatile, risk-managed returns to be able to meet your goals.
Yeah, that's the whole point. And sort of like what we're talking about here with buckets, too. It's an idea to help you meet your goals. And you could also meet the Brain Trust, too, as I said, in person. Once again, Saturday the 17th in San Diego, California. October 1st, Las Vegas, and Phoenix, Arizona, October 8th. Seattle will happen in November. Go to wealthed.com, or you can call us here, 877-PLANNER. All right, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, if you've got any money questions on anything at all, you can give us a call, 877-752-6637. We're talking about... last week, as I said, taking money out of a portfolio that is declining, Professor Plum. When we're talking about setting up a bucket strategy, we had used a portfolio that had $100,000 last week.
To start with.
And it made it simple. It made it the math somewhat easy.
And the individual was taking a 5% of initial value withdrawal.
Exactly. Now, when they took money out, as we had said, of the declining portfolio, they were out of money by like 20 years into their retirement. And it's because of the early years that the couple of early bad years, not too bad, but just down years, that sort of ruined them. They couldn't get back. On the other hand, somebody who had waited and retired at a much better time just by chance.
Yeah, it wasn't that they planned it to be.
No, it just happened that they were a lot of good years. They wound up with like something like their $100,000 was now $600,000, and that was after taking out $5,000 a year over those 30 years or whatever. That was after 20 years. But anyway, okay. So the point was this. To be able, if the person who was out of money, Professor Plum, had carved off a little section of that $100,000, put it off to the side in safety.
True. They would have been a lot better off. I mean, looking at the numbers, I went back and played with the numbers that they gave us, just the numbers they did. And if they'd pulled off enough money that they could meet their needs for the first 10 years out of a safer type of an account, maybe even a cash account at that point. They obviously would have had less invested in the market because they pared back and they put a big chunk of money off to the side. But if they had done that, then they would have ended up, they wouldn't have ended up with $600,000 after 20 years, but they would have ended up with more than they started with based on the numbers that the study that they showed us last week had been dealing with. And so, you know, part of the goal isn't necessarily, when I've spoken with a lot of retirees, once they get into retirement, the goal isn't to become uber rich. The goal is to not become poor. And so ending up with more than you started with is a pleasant outcome compared to running out of money. And so that is one of the goals. Now, if the market just goes up and up and up and up and up and up, like we saw from basically 1979 through 1999, you might miss out on some net worth by using a more stable type of income strategy, a more buckets strategy. But for most people, that isn't the issue. Wringing every last potential piece of return out of the portfolio at the detriment of running out of money, the people that I've talked to, by and large, say, no, I just don't want to run out of money. And so that's where a bucket strategy comes into play. And it can help the longevity of a portfolio.
Yes, it can, and we've shown you how. All right, we got some folks on hold. We got a few buckets questions too, and I want to get to those first. So if you're on hold, hang on. We will get to everybody, I promise. We still have two lines open at 877-PLANNER. Let's move along next to James in Atlanta. Hello, James.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm 68, and I have an account with the Vanguard 2020 Retirement Fund. And I'll be, the mandatory RMD is coming up in 2 years from now. And you were talking about having to withdraw money from a portfolio when the stock market is going down in value.
Right.
And all of my money is in the 2020 target date fund. I got about 630Ks. And I was wondering, isn't that fund has several buckets within that one particular fund?
Actually, no. It's designed as one account. It's managed as one account. It's a balanced portfolio. And so it has stocks and bonds. You're probably close to a 50-50 mix in stocks and bonds. I don't know for a fact on that one. But it's maybe 60% bonds, 40% stocks, 50-50, somewhere in there. And so the idea is that they're trying to reduce some of the volatility. So if somebody needs to start spending some money in 3 years, that's the goal. But even at 2020, that portfolio will not be 100% out of the stock market. There will be some stocks in it. And so, you have the advantage. Do you need to take any money out other than required minimum distributions?
No, I don't. Just the required minimum distribution. Really, I don't need that, but I'm required to do it. So.
Right. Yeah. So you have an advantage over somebody who needs to spend the money. You can do anything you want because you don't need this money, and there's no requirement that your required minimum distribution be taken in cash. There's no requirement that you sell the securities in your IRA to create the required minimum distribution. So if the market's down when you decide in the year or the time that you decide to take your required minimum distribution, you just distribute shares of the fund from the IRA to your personal name. You didn't have to sell it when it was down. So you don't have the same constraints as somebody who says, I've got $630,000 and I really do need, maybe $1,000, $2,000 a month from this portfolio, and I need that money to spend. Now, target date funds are fine funds for asset allocation if you want a one-stop shop, but they are not the best use of money for distribution times. They don't work in those areas because they still have volatility, and they are not managed as a bucket one fixed income and a bucket three stocks. They're managed together as more of a bucket two, which is a balanced portfolio. How balanced? Go ahead.
What would be the other bucket to go with a fund like that?
Well, it depends on what you're trying to accomplish with this money. You can do anything you want. You're fine the way you are right now, because you don't need the money.
Yeah, hey, James, you know what? I have to take a break. Hold on, I don't want you to go away. We're gonna come back and talk to you more about this. So please stick around for just a couple of moments. Gonna take a quick break and come right back to you and explain a little bit more about this. He's asking some very good questions And I'm sure he's not the only one that needs the answers to those. So don't go away, James. All right, stick around for more. We will talk to you more on the other side. 877-PLANNER, our number. PLANNER, get on board. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group, Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, 877-PLANNER. Get on board. We're answering your money questions here on the Bucket Strategy Investing Show. Happy to talk to whoever wants to give us a call. We were talking buckets. Now, before the break, we were talking with James in Atlanta, who's on the line. James, you're still with us?
Yes, sir. Still here.
Okay, good. Now, Professor Plum, let's continue here. We're about to make a good point.
Now, you were talking about the 2020 fund and just basically a balanced allocation fund and your required minimum distributions. And you were thinking that, well, because it has fixed income securities in it and it has equities in it, that it would actually be, from our vernacular, bucket number one and bucket number three. Am I missing the point, James?
No, that's correct.
The reality, though, is they manage it as one portfolio. And so whenever there's money added to it, it's added to everything. Whenever money is withdrawn from it, when you sell something, say, I need to sell it and create $25,000 for my required minimum distribution. If you were to sell it, when they sell off the $25,000, they're selling it across the board. It's still going to be the same percentage of fixed income and equity. So you're selling both bucket one and bucket number three from that standpoint, and that's not what we're trying to accomplish. We don't want to ever have to sell something when it's down in value. And if we just sell, you know, the 2020, the 2030, 20, any balanced portfolio, it may be down, some of it may be down at that point, and they're just selling it off. And because they keep it in balance that they're supposed to be, the allocation that they want. So it doesn't work from a bucket number one standpoint because it is volatile. Now, it's not as volatile as pure stock market, but there is volatility. And because it's watered down on the overall return because it has a fairly large fixed income component to it, it's not a bucket number three area, and it's not something we want to leave alone for 15 years or so and get a potentially better rate of return from a pure equity portfolio like we would in a true bucket three. So it doesn't really fit one or three, but you're in a very a good position that you don't need this money. And when you do have to take the required minimum distribution, you don't have to sell anything to take the required minimum distribution. You can just transfer shares without selling them. Now, would I have 100% of my money into one 2020 fund? Me personally, no, I would not. I would have a broader diversification with that. I would have a more true bucket strategy so that if I wanted to, and I would say to you, why aren't you spending some of this money? You work very hard for it. You saved it. It's time to start spending it, James. Come on. Get on the ball here.
Well, I don't need the money. I mean, I got a good pension, so yeah. I really don't need the money.
Well, and if you don't need the money, no matter what you do with this, it's fine. Whether it grows, X percent a year or whether it goes down by X percent a year, it doesn't affect your life. It only affects somebody in the future, maybe. And the only time it's going to be an issue is if you actually sell it to create the required minimum distribution if the market is down at the time you sell it. So I would want to spend some of the money, I would think. Maybe help others out, maybe be charitably inclined. That makes sense. You could be do the qualified charitable distribution once you get to full, required minimum distribution age. I'm not a big fan of the 2020 fund for long-term growth, and I'm not a big fan of it for distributions. You don't need to take distributions, so that's not a big issue on that side. And whether or not it grows or doesn't grow, that doesn't affect you either.
Right. So what you're saying, I should just have another account so when I do have to take the money out to 2020, I can just put those shares in a non-IRA account?
Yeah, whether you open up an account today or you wait until you have your required minimum distribution and you open up the account then, not a big deal. You can open it up. When you turn 70 and a half, the year you turn 70 and a half, and you have to take like a $25,000, $28,000 required minimum distribution, you can go to the company and say, hey, I need to open a personal account, and I want you to to move X number of shares, which totals at least as much or more than the required minimum distribution, from my IRA to my personal account. They'll do it, and it's just
okay.
You'll just own exactly what you owned before, except for you create a taxable event.
Exactly.
Okay, well, appreciate the information. Enjoy your show.
Well, thank you, James. If you need some help, please hold on. We'd be happy to do a little bit more strategizing with you. Yeah, that's another important point. We try to talk about that fact too when we talk about required minimum distributions. And it's just simply taking it out from underneath the cover of the IRA.
And the fact that he doesn't need very much, he doesn't need anything from it, doesn't mean he shouldn't invest it to hopefully get a potentially better rate of return than what, you know, a fairly conservative allocation fund is doing.
Yeah, and I don't know if we didn't really ask about his heirs, but you know, this he could use that opportunity if he wanted to, perhaps to invest for them, or if not, and he just doesn't want to lose money, you can't go wrong. You just put it all in safety. I mean, you know, there are a whole bunch. You have a lot of options, which is very, very nice. Good job, James. Okay, 877 Planner. Let's go next to Pat in Portland, Oregon. Hello, Pat.
Hello. Good morning, gentlemen. I had a question for you guys. I've heard just a little bit about a term called net unrealized appreciation, I believe it is.
NUA.
So my scenario is this. I'm nearing retirement. I have a good portion of a company stock in my 401k. With a much lower cost basis to it. And I can give you kind of some ballpark numbers, but I'm curious how this works out.
Okay.
Let's say I have $1 million in company stock with a cost basis of about 200.
Okay.
What exactly does that look like?
Well, what net unrealized appreciation is the ability to take a distribution when you do a complete distribution of the 401k and take the company stock in kind, meaning transfer the stock. Don't sell the stock in the 401k. Have the 401k transfer it not to an IRA, but to your personal brokerage account. And what that does is, so you've given us the numbers of there's $1 million in value of company stock. And the plan has a basis, meaning when the stock was put into the plan, whether you put it in or whether the company put it in, it doesn't matter. But the value when the stock went in was a cumulative $200,000. So if they transfer that $1 million in value of stock to you into your personal brokerage account, you don't pay tax on $1 million, you pay tax on $200,000. So now you own a stock personally that's worth, you know, roughly $1 million with a basis of $200,000. When you ultimately sell that stock, you pay capital gains on that $800,000 or whatever the value is when you sell it. And so it's a way to remove money from your 401k and not pay tax on the appreciation until you later sell it, and then it's capital gain rather than ordinary income coming from an IRA or 401k. Now, would I do it with $200,000? Maybe not. I might pare it back a little bit. And so depending upon how your company keeps track of the basis, whether it keeps track of it on an actual cost basis, meaning you can identify the shares within the plan and the basis that are on those, or whether it's just on an average basis, dictates how we're going to potentially use this, because paying ordinary income on $200,000 is still a pretty good sized tax hit right away, right?
Well, and would I pay a penalty on that as well?
Well, how old are you?
I'm 51.
And when are you going to retire?
I'd like to do it by 55.
Well, if you do it in the year that you reach 55 or older, there won't be a penalty. If you terminate your employment in a year before you turn 55, then you really can't do the NUA without a penalty until such time as you get to 59 and a half. So it's still treated as a distribution for penalty purposes. If it was going to be subject to a penalty without the NUA, the taxable event is still going to be a penalized event if you're under the appropriate ages. And so there are ways to continue doing this. Now, one of the things you could potentially do, is there other monies in the 401k other than the stock?
Yeah.
And so you could, you know, roll over everything except for the stock to an IRA. Let's say that doesn't let you live off of that either. Are you going to need this money within the IRA or the 401k to live off of between 54 and 60 or so?
No. No, not necessarily. I mean, the fact of getting it into a non-tax deferred account is extremely attractive to me, though.
Now, you do have to do it in one fell swoop. So if you were, let's say you retired at 54, and you have other assets for which to be able to pull from to be able to retire, and you don't need to touch any of the money in the 401k, and so you leave the stock in the 401k, and you roll everything else to an IRA, that's fine. But then if you do that, you cannot do the NUA until you get to another what they call triggering event. Triggering event is age 59 and a half, normal retirement age 70 and a half. And then you can do the NUA again. There's a lot of rules. I'm just glossing over some of them, so you'd really want to deal with this. But now you have the problem that you're holding onto that stock for another 4 years, 5 years, and the value of that stock, that $1 million, could go down to 800. It could go up too. So you've got the risk of the market still on that one stock. It's just a matter of trying to figure out how to do it. Now, again, I said $200,000 may be a little bit too big of a tax bite. What you could maybe do is sell half of it, have a $500,000 with only a $100,000 taxable event.
Yeah.
Those are things you can do.
Pat, hold on a second. We've got some more opportunity to strategize here. I'm going to have you talk to Professor Plum more about this off the air, so don't go away. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. We'll explain some of the stuff, what we're talking about, when we come back on Bucket Strategy Investing. Find it out. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. There's another hour just ahead in many cities across the country here. So stick around for more Bucket Strategy Investing beyond even the top of the hour. We'll be here answering your money questions as always, and also answering more of your money questions at the next Alternative Investment Workshop. Now, they're coming back for the fall, once again presented by Lucia Capital Group. And this time it is, as I said, Alternative Investments. Going to be telling you all about what you need to know. You know, oftentimes all you see are stocks, bonds, maybe a little bit of cash. And if you look real closely at some of those, even the target date funds, they have something called other. And, you know, they don't pay a whole lot of attention to things like alternative investments. And really the whole point is to learn to invest similar to the way, say, an endowment might invest. And you're going to learn all about this stuff at the workshops. The next one is coming up Saturday morning, September 17th. In San Diego, California. It's a 9 o'clock start at the Hotel Carlan. You can get some more information there at wealthed.com. But Saturday morning, September 17th in San Diego. October 1st, Las Vegas, Nevada. That's a Saturday morning. These are all Saturdays. And then October 8th in Phoenix, Arizona. We've got a bunch of others too. Houston, Santa Clara, Seattle, others. So if you're, I would say just about anywhere you're watching or listening, we should be somewhere nearby. So check the schedule at wealthed.com. Come join the Brain Trust. It's all free. Just show up. Tell us how many are going to be there. Show up and get some of the best money information you can. And you get to meet the Brain Trust in person, which I think is pretty cool. Again, you go to wealthed.com to sign up, or just give us a call right here. You can call 877-PLANNER. Okay, Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, just very quickly, it can get complicated, and I don't want to get too complicated on this stuff. We were talking about net unrealized appreciation. Okay, now, we were mentioning this with Pat in Portland, Oregon. Pat had a good-sized 401k. He had some basis in his 401k, but it was company stock.
Company stock position in his 401k.
Right.
As well.
He had about $200,000 of basis of company stock inside his 401k, which I think was worth.
He gave us the numbers. It was worth roughly $1 million in stock.
Yeah.
His employer company stock, and the basis in the plan was roughly $200,000. And NUA, net unrealized appreciation, is a tax play. The idea is to find a way to potentially remove a large portion or a good-sized portion of your 401k without having to pay taxes on it right away, and ultimately paying capital gains rather than ordinary income. And so the idea is also remove that so you don't have the required minimum distribution. Now, the larger the basis is, the less likely you're going to do this. But it also depends on what your future retirement income looks like and how much money you're actually saving to be able to take advantage of this.
So what do you do? I mean, you have basis, meaning this is your contribution.
Plan has a not your contribution.
I mean, your
plan
tax,
yeah. Has a basis. The plan, it's just like if you were a personal investor, when you buy a stock, that's your basis in it. Well, the plan is looking at that as well and saying, when the stock went into the plan on your account, how much was it worth? And it doesn't matter whether I bought it in the plan through my monthly, payroll contributions, or whether the company put it into the plan. as a matching contribution or whatever the case may be. The day that it went into the plan, there was a value to that stock, and that's the basis going forward. It doesn't change with stocks going up or down in value. And so can we make a useful tax draw by spending some tax dollars today with a distribution or at retirement? Because it has to be a final termination of the plan, basically. You can't do this while you're working. You can't do this and have the plan continue. It's the last hurrah of the 401k. The last thing it does is it distributes everything out. Some of it can go to an IRA. Some of it can come to you in the form of NUA stock. You just have to, there are some rules. We're glossing over some of them. So just if you have company stock and you have pretty good appreciation in that company stock in your plan, you may want to check into it to see if it actually works for you.
And it may or may not. You don't know.
I've seen it work very, very well, and I've seen other companies where the basis was just too high to make it a good choice to do.
Is this what a special break that's allowed for people that have company stock?
What's the
rationale for providing this for people?
Well, you're asking for rationale in IRS tax code. I'm not going to be able to do that. But it is a tax break, and a lot of companies, they've been making their contributions over the years in company stock. I don't know why the IRS allows it. I just know they do.
Well, the IRS allows it because Congress allows it.
And
so I guess the question is, I always like to look at the reasons behind.
I don't know where the law came from. It's been on the books, as far as I know, for as long as I've been doing this.
Right. It's been a long time.
And, there are companies. And, again, go back to how they account for the basis. Some companies account for it on a per-stock basis. So you can tailor. I've seen some where they had 200,000, similar numbers, 200,000 in basis with $1 million in value. But a lot of that happened 20, 30 years ago. So a lot of the growth was on only a small number of stocks. And the individual could identify in the plan saying, well, sell these high expensive ones off. It reduces my value by 100 or 200,000, but it reduces my basis by $100,000 as well. So my value went from a million down to $900,000. My basis went from 200,000 down to 100,000. Now I'm getting 900 out for that million versus a company that keeps it as average cost basis. Or if I wanted to get it down to you can tailor the distribution, you can tailor the taxable event by selling the stock. And so I may have to, if it's average basis, I'd have to sell half of it to get rid of half of the basis.
So you got to, now we're getting into this.
It's fun.
This is where you got to look at it and you say, okay, here's the puzzle again.
It's wonderful.
It's wonderful.
But you also have to look, okay, what is it going to cost me in taxes today versus what would it have cost me in taxes by taking it out of the 401k IRA later? And depending upon the tax brackets, I may be jumping myself out of the 15% bracket into the 25-28% bracket where I would have been taking it out in the 15% bracket. And to avoid the risk of the stock, I'm pretty much having to sell the stock in 1 or 2 years.
Right.
Which means it's going to be in the 15 or 25% bracket anyway because I only have so much room.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to go
up
into the
next bracket.
So
did I really save anything?
So you got to run it each way.
You got to run it both ways.
And you said this is fun. What did you say?
This is fun.
Doing this stuff, I mean, this is
being able to find that needle in the haystack that can save somebody, save some tax dollars. It's wonderful.
Oh, I'm sure it is. But actually going through the process and doing it, I mean, that's work.
No, it's fun.
You've said this before. I was trying to lead you into that by saying because it's like a puzzle.
It is a puzzle.
Are people who want to put this thing together and they say we can make this work. It's just a question of how. And from a tax standpoint, that's what we want to do.
And it's made more fun because it's like a three-dimensional puzzle, or it's an evolving puzzle because if you move one thing over here, it changes the outline, the picture.
Of course.
And so you don't have a clear picture of what you're trying to create. I love it.
That's why you're here. everybody has their niche, whatever, and this is what we do. Okay, we're out of time for this hour. Stick around for more. If you need the Brain Trust off the air, you want to add to Professor Plum's fun, as he says, you can give him a call at Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150. 800-644-1150. Talk to any of the advisors about your situation. All right, another hour just ahead. Stick around. More Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.